They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
He can make out, he's got it! Touchdown! Seahawks!
Launches one, deep left field, and gone!
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh my goodness! Curry!
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name is Nathan, joined as always by Mr. Joseph Augusti on the biggest day in world history, NFL trade deadline day, of course. What else would it be? Oh, and I guess that election thing's going on or whatever. Yeah. We'll probably be... Me and Joseph will probably have a couple moments where we have to talk about it at some point, but it's not the main focus of this episode, of course, because this is a sports podcast. We're not a politics podcast, although we've both been following it a lot. So even though we're Canadian. Joseph, how are we doing tonight, though?
I'm doing okay. My Senators are getting smacked by Buffalo, so we need my boy Artem Zub to come back. But otherwise, pretty decent day. How are you?
Yeah, you know, just trying to track this election as best I can. Got the Canucks game coming up on half an hour-ish. So, see how that goes. They're in Anaheim. You should beat Anaheim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, today's episode, as promised. Four Nations roster prediction start. We're doing Finland first. Me and Joseph have each crafted a roster. I have no clue what his is yet. We'll see. I'm assuming it's going to mainly be the same. Like, I feel like Finland is pretty straightforward, but we'll see in a sec. And then we're going to go over to the MLB, where we will talk the World Series, recap that up now that the Dodgers are champions. Finally, they get over the hump and they can probably beat the Mickey Mouse allegations. And then we're going to do some free agency predictions, maybe like a couple. I don't know how many we'll do, but maybe we'll kind of spread it out. Then we'll go to, of course, the biggest news of the day, the NFL trade deadline, and talk about that, some of the trades there. And then in the NBA, we're going to talk the Sixers struggles, as well as Drake and DeMar DeRozan's beef all of a sudden. Yeah, well, that could get interesting. So, Joseph, Four Nations, how do you want to do this first?
Do you want to share screens or what do you want? Because I have mine up if you want to do it.
I have mine on my phone, so I cannot.
Okay, let's see if I... let me share my screen, Nathan, and then you can see it. Am I allowed? No, I need to...
Oh, okay, wait.
You need to give me permission. Nothing but a well-oiled machine here.
What the hell just happened there?
Let me in.
Sorry, I'm trying to close this. Where are you? Participants... More. You should be good now, I think.
No.
What? I just gave you
multi-presenter.
Oh, maybe not. Do we really want to show this?
No, not really. Okay.
Okay.
So
I can read. We can go line by line.
I'll just read.
I feel like that's
okay.
Easier.
What do you want to start with? Goalies?
Sure. Why not? I was going to say forwards because I feel like that's normally.
Do you
want to
do forwards? I can do forwards.
I feel like get the harder kind of area out of the way.
Okay, forwards then?
Yeah.
Okay. Line number one. Teuvo Teravainen, Alexander Barkov, Mikko Rantanen.
Okay. Do you want me to do mine or do you want to alternate and talk about it?
I'll go. I think we'll just go me and
then
you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Line number two. Arturi Lehkonen, Sebastian Aho, Patrick Laine, if he's healthy. I'm betting on him being healthy. Okay. Line number three. Erik Haula, Rupe Hintz, Eli Tolvanen.
Okay.
Line number four. Matias Michelli, Anton Lundell, and Joel Armia.
Okay. And do you have an extra forwards?
I didn't do extras.
Okay. Because I think there's only one. Okay, I'll go mine. And then we'll get into it. Mainly the same. Like I said, Finland's pretty easy, I feel like. My first line is Mikko Rantanen, Alexander Barkov, and Arturi Lehkonen. I just put the Avs connection on the same line. I feel like that's the easiest. Line two, Teuvo Teravainen, Sebastian Aho, Patrick Laine, if healthy. I'm assuming he will be by then, based off everything I've heard. Line number three, Eli Tolvanen, Rupe Hintz, Mikael Granlund.
Okay. Okay. That's the first difference.
Yep. Line number four, Matias Michelli, Anton Lundell, Erik Haula.
Okay.
My extra forward is Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
So, okay, you had Granlund and Varmia. Otherwise, we're entirely
Yes,
the same. And
yes,
then some
yes.
line variations.
Yep.
Okay.
If you want to, so like I said, I put Rantanen above Lek, or I put Lekkonen above Teräväinen on the first line just because of the Avs connection. I feel like it just makes the most sense. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, that Teräväinen and Aho and Laine played together in the World Juniors in 2016. It would have been.
No, it was Puljujärvi.
Oh, it's
And
Puljujärvi.
he's not
Gotcha.
making the team. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. He's a
No.
he could make it as an extra forward. I could see it.
Okay. We'll see. He's been better with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And then yeah, I put Granlund in. He sneaky good on the Sharks. I don't know. He kind of revived his career a little bit there because remember he got traded to Pittsburgh and he was
Yeah.
ass.
But there's also no expectations.
Yeah. Plus veteran presence. I think did you put Armia in just for like defensive purposes and kind of shut down?
Essentially, penalty
Yeah.
kill.
Yeah, that's kind of what I
He's been
figured.
all right for Montreal.
That's Tolvanen's a little sketch because I feel like he might be the guy to fall out if they choose to go that route, like penalty killing and stuff like that. But we both had him in. And then Kotkaniemi was my extra forward because I think they'll probably just value a center a little bit more there who can play
Okay.
both wing and center. I don't know. That's kind of where I went.
That's fair. Yeah, Finland, they're probably the favorite to finish fourth. They probably have the weakest roster in my opinion,
They're
but
sneaky though.
well, of course they're good. There are no bad teams. It's just their offensive depth. We all know how good Roope Hintz is, but like my third line, Haula and Tolvanen, can they score against the USA's and the Canada's of the world where every defenseman is good? There are no dead weights on either of those teams. And then I like Matias Michelli a lot and Anton Lundell, but can they provide the secondary scoring in limited ice time for Finland? And I don't know if they can.
I
So,
will say their center depth is disgusting.
yeah, it's really good.
I know every country is probably going to have really good center depth, but Barkov, Aho, Hintz, Lundell, and then you have like Kotkaniemi there as an extra. Can Halla play the center?
Yeah, you can. You
I
can.
want to say. It's good. It's really good. I'm kind of realizing in my team now, I don't really have any right shot forwards other than Laine.
Who do I have?
You have
Rantanen's
Armia.
right shot. Rantanen's right
No, he's
shot.
left shot. He's 100% left shot.
I'm
I know this for a fact.
gonna look that up really
You had
quickly.
Hala though, so he's a right shot, I know. Or not Hala, Armia.
Okay, you're right. He is a left shot.
So I wonder if they want.
Well, you know how I feel about handedness and how overrated it's become. On the wings, I don't think it matters that much. So.
But considering all your four, like you have one right shot out of 11 or 12, 13 forwards, right? Maybe a little bit concerned, but
Maybe.
nonetheless, defense.
Okay. Defense. Top pairing. Miro Heiskanen and Rasmus Ristolainen. Second pair. Esa Lindell and Olli Määttä. Third pair. Nico Mikkola and Henri Jokiharju.
And no
And
extra,
not into
right?
extras.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mine goes top pair: Miro Heiskanen, Lindell. I'm trying to. I'm blanking on Lindell's first name. Esa Lindell.
Esa Lindell, yeah.
Pair number two: Juuso Välimäki and Ristolainen. And pair number three: Mikko Mikkola and Henri Jokiharju. My extra defenseman is Olli Määttä.
Okay. Okay.
There's about like seven defensemen I think they can take. May there's a case for an eighth, but in my opinion, it's a pretty clear-cut seven they're going to take.
Yeah, this is where they have their weakness. Their
Yes.
decor isn't particularly good. Like Heiskanen and Lindell are good. Everyone else is just average to below average. Like we know what Rasmus Ristolainen is at this stage of his career. He's been overrated for a long time. He has his draft pedigree. He's got enormous size, but he's just not very good. And he'll almost certainly be in their top four. Olli Määttä is getting older. He's not. I guess he just got traded to Utah, so we'll see what kind of role he has there. But him in your top four, not great. Henri Jokiharju is nothing special. Mikkola is nothing special. I like Lindell, but the defense is clearly the weakness for Finland. And that's probably what's going to cost them.
I like that's the thing about Finland is like they're the weakest team on paper going in. They always find a way to be good or like better than they're expected to do though. Like it would not surprise me to see them in the finals of the tournament.
Yeah, like Team Europe back in the day.
Yeah. Like they're always you never think they're like that good, but they always find a way. They play like good like team hockey, I find, when it comes to these tournaments. So we'll see in that. And then goalies, I'm pretty sure there's only three to choose from, really. Maybe there's something. Well, there's
No.
four, I guess, to choose from, but you can.
Yeah, okay, actually, I might have something different than you here.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Juuse Saros as the number one, obviously. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen as the backup of your Buffalo Sabres. And number three, I have Kevin Lankinen of the Vancouver Canucks. Saros is great. We all know how good Saros is. He's the clear starter. If he plays poorly, they're sunk.
I have this. I just want to pull up something. One quick second. How do you spell his name? Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Pekka
There it is.
Luukkonen,
Okay.
Luukkonen.
I just want to see. I'm just trying to check his stats quickly before this. Okay. Yeah. My hunch was confirmed. So my number one is Juuse Saros. Easy choice. He's a starter. I have Lankinen playing his way into the backup spot on this team. And I have
Interesting.
UPL as the third. Just based off kind of these years' numbers. Like, Pekka Luukkonen, not been that good this year. He's got a 316 and an 893 to start the year in eight games. Not great. Whereas Lankinen, he's looked very well for the Canucks. I'm sure it's not going to hold, but I don't know. I think he might play his way. He's playing his way onto the number two spot on this team. Because going into the year, if you told me, if you told me UPL backup, 100% I agree with you. But Lankinen to me is taking that spot from him right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty quick breakdown, I guess. We kind of
Well,
discussed some.
Finland's the least interesting team, in my opinion.
Yeah,
So
it's.
get them out of the way. They could surprise like Team Europe did. They got a couple really good centers. They got some good wingers. They have two good defensemen and an elite goalie. So we'll see. If this was like a tournament where there was like the usual 7-8 teams, they'd be the clear favorite for a bronze medal. Or maybe squeak their way into silver competition. I'd be shocked if they won the whole thing. Like, I just cannot see it happening. Like, it would have to be a Canada goaltending implosion or United States, they can't score for whatever reason. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think the states would be they can't kill penalties, like their
Maybe.
special, like, or something like that.
But
I
they
don't
got
know.
Slavin, so I don't know. So, and Sweden, maybe their goaltending fizzles because I know Markstrom hasn't been that good this year.
Well,
So we'll see.
Sweden always chokes in gold medal games
Yeah,
too, though. So,
they never win anything. They're kind of always the bridesmaid.
that wraps up that topic, even though it was quick. To the MLB and the World Series. It ended like we thought. You said it was going to be Dodgers in five. It did end up being Dodgers in five. Freddie Freeman, World Series MVP. Oh, right. I did say I had some takes for this. Okay. Is Shohei Ohtani the greatest baseball player of all time already?
No, but
Okay.
he's on track to be.
I think there's a claim for him to be there already. And that's crazy to say, I know, because he's played since what, 2019, 2018?
17.
Really? Has it
I
been
think
that
he's
long?
been around. It's 17 or 18. It's not
Okay, let
19.
me.
You know what? I think it's 18 now that I think about it. Yeah, it's 18. It's 18.
Ohtani.
It's 18.
Yeah.
It's 1,000% 18.
Career 2018. Yes. But I don't know. It's crazy to say because he's played 7 years in the majors and he's just dominated like basically every year, other than maybe. I forget what was the shit year he had. Was it the bubble, 2020?
Yes, he was terrible.
Yeah. He couldn't pitch then. He was coming off Tommy John. I remember that.
What deja vu? But he couldn't hit at the time. I
Yeah.
think he tweaked his stance the next season.
And that's where he exploded for 46 home runs. He might be the greatest baseball player of all time. And it's just weird to say because. Like, well, it's honestly like, what more does he need to do? World
And
Series MVP,
also
I guess, but like, he was playing hurt.
No, I don't believe in World Series MVPs as like indicative. Like, I just don't believe in it personally, because then Bill Russell's the greatest player ever.
Okay.
And also, like, MLB is weird because there isn't really a definitive best player ever. Hockey, you have Gretzky. If you're basketball, depending on what side you're on, it's Jordan or LeBron. Football, it's Tom Brady, in my opinion.
Mahomes trying to catch up to him, but yeah.
Well, we're a while away from that conversation. But baseball, it's either Babe Ruth, who played 100 years ago, or Mickey Mantle, who played 50 years ago. If you don't care about steroids, you can say it's Barry Bonds, but I care about steroids, so I will never say Barry Bonds. It's hard to say, really. Or maybe go Hank Aaron, but that was, again, a long time ago, and he wasn't much of a defensive player. So, I don't know. But then again, Ohtani plays zero defense. So what matters?
But then he pitches elite numbers. That's the problem.
Yeah. So if he continues this trajectory, yes. Because he's already got a ring.
Yeah. How many more years do you think he needs to play at this level? And let's say... I'll ask. Let's say how many more years does he need to play to be considered the GOAT?
What is he, 29, I want to say? Let's say he continues 40-40 offensively. 40 homers, 40 steals, or 40-30. And let's say he pitches a 3.5 ERA, which I think all of that is reasonable.
Okay, yeah.
I'd say 3 or 4 years and he's there.
Okay. And how
Maybe
many
five.
Rings, how many rings do you think he needs in
three.
This scenario?
Three.
You think he needs all three rings? Okay.
Not three more rings, three rings in total.
Gotcha.
And really, in the future, because of the way his contract's set up, there's not really any excuse for the Dodgers not to perennially contend.
Oh, they will. They always do. But
there's no excuses.
Then there's no excuses for them to not win every year.
Yeah, essentially.
That's why I'm thinking like he already is. Like, there's just no clear GOAT in baseball. Like, I think it's Babe Ruth right now, but like, he played 100 years ago. How can you say a guy that played in a whole different era like is the GOAT? And I know probably like what, 100 years from now, people are going to be like, oh, Shohei's not the GOAT. He played in this era. It sucked or whatever. Okay. I guess I see your point, but like.
We might all be dead in 100 years.
Yeah. That
the world might have exploded.
Well, we definitely will. We're going to be, unless we live to 100, mid 120s or whatever.
Probably not. But who knows? Will baseball even be around in 100 years? You never know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why I'm kind of thinking he might be the GOAT already, though. It's just there's no clear.
There's an argument.
There's no
clearly
clear
an
answer.
Argument. Yeah, baseball's weird like that. And you have to be a hitter to be in the GOAT conversation, which is kind of weird. I don't think there's a pitcher in the GOAT conversation. I wouldn't put Randy Johnson there. Or Roger Clemens, he was roided up the whole time. And he's a shitty person.
Nolan Ryan is like the only one I think of.
No. It has to be a hitter.
Maybe, I don't know.
Marco Estrada, I don't know. Ricky Romero. Sam Gaviglio.
Without a doubt, from the series, first ballot Hall of Famer now, for sure, Mookie Betts.
Oh, yeah. I think he was there already.
Probably was, but
with his second.
It's now a slam dunk.
Him and Freddie.
Freddie, I think, is now 100% first ballot Hall of Famer.
Anyone else on that team? Kershaw. Ohtani, obviously.
Kershaw.
If Walker Buehler's going to have to stay healthy.
He hasn't been good for a little bit. He was good in the playoffs again, but.
Yeah. Like, who else? They don't really have any good bullpen guys.
Blake Treinen is their best arm.
Yeah, he's not.
Not a Hall of Famer.
No,
good
Muncy,
career, but
Muncy would have to go crazy in the next 5 years, and that's not going to happen. So yeah, they have a couple Hall of Famers on their team. Makes Boston look terrible for giving up. We're not giving up, but refusing to pay Mookie Betts because that trade just went horrendously for them. Because it was like Verdugo, who was okay at best, and now he's a Yankee. Jeter Downs, who was a bust, and that was it basically.
Don't forget they threw in David Price contract. Here,
yeah,
but David Price
paid...
actually turned out to be good. A little bit for a year or two.
And they paid a lot of his salary, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Boston. So, horrible trade. One of the worst of all time.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Yankees side a little bit. That game five was... That collapse, let's call it, in the fifth inning.
It was funny.
I've heard a lot of people saying it's just like, oh, the Yankees don't know fundamentals. Like, they're just all show, no fundamentals kind of thing. I mean, like, Judge drops a pretty routine fly ball.
Do you know why he dropped it?
Why did he drop it?
Are you aware of the YouTube channel John Boy Media?
Yes.
He did a breakdown and he synced it up really cool with different angles.
Okay.
At the last possible millisecond, Judge checks first base to see if he has a chance to double off the runner. I can't remember who it was. At the last second, he takes his eye off the ball. Just like Dennis Leary says to Scotty Smalls in The Sandlot, got to keep your eye on the ball. And he didn't. And it clanked because he took his eye off the ball, which in that situation is inexcusable. Also, why is he in center field?
He has always been playing center field.
He played right field for years.
He transitioned, like
Get a proper center fielder.
before Soto got there, he
I
transitioned.
know, but get a proper center fielder, just to, less wear and tear on the body. Get Mike
Fair enough.
Trout.
Well, if Juan Soto leaves, maybe, but and then I'm trying to. You had
The what's his name? Volpe.
Volpe try and throw it to third to Chisholm.
It
Not
was
a,
it's the
not
right
a,
decision.
yeah, not a horrible play. It's just like, but the problem is you have Jazz Chisholm playing third base when he's not a third baseman.
Well, not even that. The throw was shit. He spiked it. Why would you spike it? He didn't have a ton of time, but he had enough time to do a proper throw. You get the force, two outs, double plays in order. Right? And he screwed it up because he's a rookie and he's not even very good defensively. Volpe.
And then finally, the nail in the coffin,
Rizzo.
routine ground ball to first base. I believe this with two outs.
Yes, it would have been over.
Yeah. And Gerrit Cole doesn't run to first base. He stops like about halfway, thinking Rizzo was going to go to the base.
It's on both of them.
And this, it, I forget who was up to bat here.
This was Betts. The play
Yes.
was Betts.
Yes, it was. And then you had Freeman come up next and hit a double, I believe.
Something like that. Or maybe his was the bloop and then it was the Hernandez double.
Right, no, he singled and then Hernandez doubled. You're right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's the Rizzo Cole play. It's on both of them. Rizzo cannot under any circumstances assume that Cole is going to be there. Because Gerrit Cole, he's not Jose Berríos. He's not a fielding. He's not an athletic guy, and that's fine. You pay him for his fastball, not for his legs. Rizzo is old too, but in that situation, you cannot assume under any circumstances that Cole's going to be there. Cole has to at least jog to show that Rizzo's gotta know who's pitching. It's not Marcus Stroman, Gold Glove winner. They both have to make an effort. And if it's bang bang, well, damn, at least you tried. They didn't even put themselves in a position to succeed there. And that's terrible, in my opinion.
I've heard a lot of people bashing Rizzo in this situation because he's like, oh, you didn't charge the ball. This ball had weird spin on it. I don't blame him for not charging as hard as it was. Because I would have bit feared a weird little kick or something. Because it was Betts who swung it right-handed, comes off the bat weird. It was spinning weird. I'll give him that. Yes, he should have probably charged it a little harder, but I can see why he didn't. This is about 90% on Gerrit Cole, though, in my opinion. It is like as I used as a former baseball player, don't really play much anymore. As a pitcher, we, Joseph, you were aware of the term PFP,
No, I don't think so.
pitcher fielding practice. It is
Okay.
basically somebody's the coach is at home plate, hits a ground ball to first base, and the entire team is yelling at every ground ball, get over, get over, get over. Every single time you get over. And that you yell this too. And I'm pretty sure you hear the catcher in the clip in the game yell, get over. I'm pr almost 100% certain I heard someone yell it. Gerrit Cole does not get over. This is like just routine baseball as a pitcher. This is just force of habit. You even on a ground ball to the second baseman, you get over. You start running at least a little bit. Any ball to the right side, you run over. Why does he just stop? I don't get it. He starts to, and then he just stops for whatever reason. No, you have to at least like make it look like you're getting to the bag. He just like, yeah, and he doesn't even run to the bag. He runs like halfway up the line. I'm like, what are you doing? This is 100% Gerrit Cole's fault. I'm sorry, like 90%. No, I said not 100%. 90%. Yes, Rizzo should have charged the ball more, but Gerrit Cole, charge the fucking or get to the fucking bag. I'm sorry, like. It's and I know too, spring training, whatever, in the regular season, they practice this shit too. I know they do. This is just routine baseball. Fundamentals, didn't do it. You lose the World Series because of it, because you blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot leave it to chance in that situation. Your defense has already let you down. Coles was, what, like 90-something pitches in at that point. It just reminds me of my favorite game in history of the Texas Rangers and Elvis Andrews screwing everything up on routine plays. Judge, that's routine. Volpe, semi-routine. A play that should be made, probably. And then Rizzo and Cole, if they do their jobs, that's a play that should be made. You're out of the inning, and it's like 5-3 at worst. So, not good. Not good.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Yankee fans are all crying, which is kind of funny.
That leads, well, let's go into some free agency talk now. Let's start with Gerrit Cole, because he opts in. So he opts out, but he signs the same deal, just without the extra year.
Yeah. Weird, so he's, but.
Yeah. So 4-year, 144, I think it was.
Yes. Yes.
Thoughts?
It's fine. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. He's worth the money. It wasn't his fault entirely they lost. I mean, you could say the last play was his fault, but if Judge and Volpe do their jobs, you're not screwed. And the fact of the matter was, they were down 3-0 in the series. They weren't coming back in any 3-1, way.
3-1 at
I know,
point.
But at one point in the series, it was 3-0.
Well,
and unless it's 2004, that's really hard to get out of. And his team didn't show up. Judge had a horrible series until the very end. Stanton is great hitter, but he's a DH and he can't run. Like, he's Kendrys Morales at this point in his career. And Soto is a free agent. So, I mean, good for the Yankees for getting Cole locked up. We all know they have the money for it. So, good deal for both sides. They needed to keep him. We'll see if they keep Stroman.
I think it's a little bit of an overpay. Like, Cole regressed this year a little bit. I wouldn't call him the best pitcher in the league anymore, in my opinion. He did regress. His velo climbed down, like, pretty drastically, I think, by like 5 kilometers or 5 miles per hour, I want to say. Like, his fastball was like 93, 94 now. And I remember when that was like 98, 99 last year. So it's a little bit concerning there. I still think he's going to be a great pitcher. I'm a little worried, but it makes sense. You can't lose him too. That's another thing at the Yankees. You just can't. To Juan Soto now. I think Juan Soto is leaving.
Me too.
I think if Juan Soto was going to stay a Yankee, there would be something done already. And I know I probably said this with, like, Judge.
Sure, I agree with that.
But you're not sure you agree?
No, I think he wants to see what the market's looking like. But okay. I think he's gone. I think he was going to test no matter what.
Okay.
He's a Scott Boras client. That's how he rolls.
Yeah, that's fair. I just found what he's, like, said after Game 5 pretty glaring. He's like, oh, I'm open to, like, all 30 teams, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, what? You just lost the word. Like, I know you're going to be a free agent, but, like, seems like I think he likes New York. I think I have a little bit of theory of this. I don't think he wants to be in Judge's shadow. I think he wants to be face of his own team.
Maybe. He left the Padres too. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the face of the team there either. Maybe. So where does he go then?
That's why he goes cross down to the Mets. Because I think
Lindor's the face.
No, I would call Soto. If they get Soto, Soto is the face.
Don't agree.
Okay. Yeah, I know you're a Lindor lover, but
I'm not even because I'm a Lindor lover. The fans love Lindor. He's the face of the team.
They would love Soto if they got him.
Maybe.
There's levels to it. Like Lindor up here, great player. Soto's like up here.
Yeah, obviously. I think he's going to the Mets as well. I think they're going to absolutely break the bank.
Yeah, no, he will not be going to the Blue Jays.
Nope, I'm not even starting.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not even entertaining it. I fell for it last year because of stupid John Morosi and all of those dumbass wannabe bloggers. I'm not doing it this time.
Sneaky.
They're not getting anybody.
Sneaky, underrated team I could see putting in a really good offer and actually potentially winning. San Francisco, they're always linked to big free agents, and you know, that's a team he will undoubtedly be the face of if that's what he wants. Does he want to play on the West Coast? I'm not sure, because he was in San Diego and he's already left San Diego. And then you have to play in the Dodgers division. And yeah, there's a chance he goes to the Dodgers too. I hate to say it, but
that would suck.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great.
That would be like, remember Kawhi was free agent and people thought he'd go for to the Lakers for a while? That would be the equivalent.
Oh yeah.
Like, 100%. don't even play the season. Right?
Like, it'd be like Kevin Durant to the Warriors, I guess.
Like, where else could he go? Atlanta? I don't know if they're going to spend that kind of money.
No, I can see it.
Seattle? No.
Seattle, maybe. I could see, but
the Cubs, they got the money for it.
Yeah.
They'll do the White Sox, but
they'd probably have to get out of the Bellinger contract, though, right?
Maybe.
Hard to say. I've heard Nationals get thrown around again.
Nah, that ship sailed.
But
I cannot imagine them doing that at all.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Although it would be funny.
I'm trying to think who else has been mentioned. The Los Angeles Angels. Ha 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 ha. No, I think that's all the teams that I've heard of. So do you want to go into any more free agents, or do you want to leave it for like next week and do a bit?
I think we're okay for this week. MLB offseason sucks.
Yeah, it's slow. That's why I'm kind of thinking we can push it back a week, because I don't really think there's going to be any big free agent signings in a week. Maybe one, if anything. But I already got a couple predictions on where I think people will go and stuff. So we'll see. But I'll leave them for next week. We can touch on it then, give us some more content then. Let's go to the NFL trade deadline, because that was today. Of course, the biggest thing of the day. I'm trying to pull up the trade tracker from today.
Lattimore.
Yeah, that was a big one. I'm probably just going to do the biggest deals. Deontay Johnson was last week, so November 5th is when we need. Okay, so start off the day. I didn't even like see this really when I woke up, but I went on like Twitter I think I saw it. I didn't even see a notification. I don't know how I saw it. I think I saw it like through my group chat. I'm like, what? What are we talking about? Za'Darius Smith to the Detroit Lions. They get their edge rusher. They trade. The Lions get Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 seventh round pick and the Browns get a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Well, Detroit needed an edge rusher with Hutchinson being out, so the rich get richer.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I didn't really think Za'Darius Smith was going to be an option for them, to be honest, but here we are. It's weird because it's now his third NFC North team, because he started with the Packers, I believe, then he went to the Vikings, and now he's on the Lions.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's a little weird. Go to the Bears next, please. We want to see the gauntlet, the Infinity
Gauntlet.
That'd
be kind of funny.
Next trade, Khalil Herbert to the Bengals, pretty minor. The Bears get a 2025 seventh. Makes sense in perspective because Zach Moss has a neck injury and I believe is likely to miss the year. At least he's on IR. I know that for sure. So it makes sense for the Bengals perspective to go get a backup, because it's really just Chase Brown and Zach Moss there. So pretty minor, but this next one, okay, hold on. Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys and a 2025 seventh for a fourth round pick. Jerry Jones, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is so stupid. Look at all the wide receiver trades that got made. Deontay Johnson and a sixth for a fifth. DeAndre Hopkins for a conditional fifth. Amari Cooper and a sixth for a third and a seventh. And then Adams for a conditional third. Why is Jonathan Mingo, who I believe has not even been getting snaps, really, offensive snaps in Carolina, worth a fourth round pick?
Because Jerry Jones is a senile old man. who's lost his mind and wasn't even good in the first place.
It makes somewhat sense getting a receiver, but like, why?
Not
Like,
really. They're
if you're,
done. Dak's out. They're done. Their season's over.
Well, yeah, but
what? Cooper Rush going to lead them to the promised land?
No, CeeDee Lamb will, if he's not
No,
hurt as well, because
he's
he's
hurt
got a
as well.
shoulder.
So
He might play this
it's
week.
done. They're done. They're done. Best hope for Dallas fans is that Jerry croaks in the offseason.
I could see, like, do this trade for, do like Mingo in a seventh for like a sixth or a seventh. Do like a pick swap, that kind of Mingo, but, or I just said Mingo. Do like that kind of pick swap because that makes more sense. But why for a fourth? It baffles me. Next to the probably biggest deal of the day, Marshawn Lattimore to the Washington Commanders, along with a 2025 fifth. In exchange, the Saints get three picks in 2025, a third, fourth, and sixth rounder. Saints start the rebuild.
Yeah, they're done. Time to close the book on Derek Carr being anything more than just aggressively mid. Because we all know what Michael Thomas has to say.
That's another thing that's baffling. Also, I guess,
well,
big
Michael
news.
Thomas, I mean, throwing stones from glass houses. Like, you couldn't stay healthy either, my guy. Like, you haven't been good in 5 years. And you don't even have a team.
Michael Thomas blames Derek Carr for that.
Come on. He had problems long before Derek Carr showed up.
Yep.
Long before.
I found it funny, Derek Carr's post-game interview, when he got asked about Thomas, and he's like, I mean, I've got along with every single teammate in my career except him. I don't know what his problem is with me, but...
That's fine.
Yeah, Saints starts a rebuild. Good. They are in probably the worst spot in the NFL, in my opinion. I thought
Yeah,
it was the Broncos coming in with Wilson, but now I think it's the Saints, because their roster has regressed. They're old, and I hope, and I don't know if you realize, they're like $90 million over the cap for next year.
I know. I was reading that today.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
It's not good. So get good on getting the assets that you can. Probably just cut the other assets that you can't move, I would say. Eat the money. Get a couple of high draft picks. Hopefully get a new quarterback eventually and go from there. But time to blow it up. Start fresh in New Orleans, because it's not looking great. From the Commanders' perspective, I like the move, honestly. I do. They need a corner help. Their defense has been better the past couple weeks, but there's still a little sketch on corner, in my opinion. And I believe they had 9 picks coming into the draft this year already, as a, like, so they already had extra picks, and they still have 7 picks in the draft. Like, they're still in a good spot, coming in the draft, and you get to make like a win now move. And I don't think it's out of the question that the Commanders are in the championship game.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels has looked awesome.
I don't know about Super Bowl, but I don't know if it's out of the question that they make it to the NFC Championship game.
Are they kind of the Bengals of, what was it, 2021? Maybe riding a young quarterback and a whole bunch of good vibes to a championship game? Maybe. I mean, Jaden Daniels has exceeded everyone's expectations. He's looked way better than even Caleb Williams. And they were hyping Caleb Williams up with like Andrew Luck from 12 years ago.
Yeah. I wasn't as high on Daniels, to be honest. Like, I didn't like a number 2 pick on him. I would maybe like a top 5 to 10 pick, but I wasn't like number. I didn't do much film study, of course. I'm not a quarterback's guru, but I don't know. I thought Drake May was a better prospect, but clearly I was wrong. Although Drake May has looked good, but Daniels, it's like, what is he already a top 10 quarterback? Like,
I don't know. I mean, Drake May doesn't know how to protect himself.
That's
his sliding. Like, he needs to learn how to do that. So we'll see.
Up like Tua. In terms of the Saints, also, I want to touch on it. Dennis Allen fired, second head coach fired this year. Not surprising. Dennis Allen, I think everyone knew, was going to be like one of the top coaches fired this year, and his seat was hot, and he finally burnt out.
Yep. Same situation as when he was in Oakland with Derek Carr, fired with him at his quarterback. He's a defensive coordinator. He's not a proper head coach.
Was he a head coach for the Saints or the
yeah.
Raiders? Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not
I think
know
he
that.
had 3 or 4 years at the beginning of Derek Carr's career.
Was that really?
Yeah,
I gotta
it was
find this out.
After Jack Del Rio was fired, I want to say. I think it was early to mid 2010s. Yeah, he's not a real head coach. He's a defensive coordinator. Some people can be really good coordinators, but they can't be head coaches. Dennis Allen's one of those. So,
Oh,
big time failure.
2012 to 2014, yeah.
In New Orleans, nothing went right for them. Nothing's gone right for them really in like 15 years. So, full scale rebuild, even though they have negative a million cap space and no real hope for the future. I mean, who's like the next big quarterback? And don't give me Shedeur Sanders. Like, is there even one in this class?
It's Shedeur Sanders in this
He's
class.
not even, is he even good? If his name was Nathan Maile, would he be number
No,
one pick?
he's good.
Okay.
He's
We'll
good.
see.
He's just got that appeal of dual threat. That's his game. He can do both. Is he a first overall like generational talent for first round pick? No,
Is
definitely
he a Goff?
I don't think he's going first overall.
I know, but is he a Jared? Oh, you don't think Sanders is going first overall? Is he a Josh Allen?
It's tough. Depends on who gets the pick. Actually, I think there's an edge rusher this year that everyone likes. Don't quote me on that, but let me like try and pull up a mock draft quick. But I believe he won't go first. Maybe it depends.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Travis
mean,
Hunter has a really good shot at going number one too, to be honest.
okay. So we'll see. There's lots of time to be thinking about that. Lots of time.
Okay, let me pull up. Why is this not pulling up any mock draft? I like searched up
Pull up.
Tankathon. Let's pull up Tankathon. That's trust me. So they have Travis Hunter going one. They have Will Johnson going two, cornerback out of Michigan. He's actually really good, I know. Mason Graham, defensive line out of Michigan, going three. They have a wide receiver out of Arizona going for Tataroa McMillan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And then they have Shedeur Sanders at five, Cameron Ward at six. Hot Cam Ward. Also quarterback out of Miami. He's actually good. And then Quinn
Yeah,
Ewers
I've
at
heard a
eight.
lot about him recently.
I'm curious to see where Gentry goes in the draft this year. I don't know if you've
Okay.
heard of Theashen Gentry.
No, I have not.
He is. It's like him and Hunter for Heisman right now. I'll pull up his stats and I'll read them to you. They are fucked. He's carrying Boise State to the playoffs right now. Genty, he is, okay. So first game of the year, puts up 20 rush attempts for 267 yards and six touchdowns.
Wow.
Second game, 25 yard rush attempts, 192 yards, three touchdowns. Then he puts up 11 rush attempts for 127 yards, no touchdowns, no receptions. So that was like his weakest game. Then he, well, actually, no, he had a weaker one. Then he goes 26 for 259 with four touchdowns, adds in a catch for 7 yards, goes 13 for 186 and three touchdowns, goes 31 for 217 and a touchdown, adds in three catches for 20 yards and another touchdown. Then he goes 33 for 128 with a touchdown, three receptions, 11 yards. And then he goes 31 for 149, two touchdowns, two receptions, 31 yards. Basically, and it's not just the stats. You got to see this guy's film. He breaks everybody trying to tackle him. It's absurd. There's touchdown runs where he'll break like three tackles off guys. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, it's like him or Hunter for Heisman right now.
Okay.
I would say, but back to trades because there was a couple more. Mike Williams to the Steelers for a 2025 fifth. This is really funny to me because I think it's just going to be Russell Wilson. He is going to have George Pickens on this side of the field, and he's going to have Mike Williams on this side of the field, and they're both just going to run up the sidelines, and Russ is going to throw to whoever's more open. It's just going to be deep balls galore with
Hey,
Russ.
Smith and Jigba played well for me this week in my fantasy league. So,
Oh yeah, he was sick. PK was out, but we don't talk about the result because we won't.
funny.
Yeah, fuck the Seahawks, man. Oh,
Yeah,
what happened, man?
Are you happy with the coach?
Yeah, I still trust him in the long run.
Okay. Okay.
I think he needs time to build out the roster.
He also needs a quarterback.
Yes and no.
I think he needs a quarterback.
Yes, he's also a defensive coach, so he's not as heavily going to want a quarterback. But is Geno the long-term answer going to take us to a Super Bowl? No, no. Probably not. With the no. absolute perfect roster around us, yeah, maybe he could, but that's wishful thinking. This game was bad, but it wasn't as bad as people are making it out to believe, I want to say. The first interception, I wasn't watching at this point in the game. I saw it on replay. I only saw it on the broadcast replay, though. Like, I didn't see any other one. I couldn't tell how much it was on Njigba dropping it or if it was just a bad ball or something like that. I can't really comment on that one. The second one, yeah, it was terrible. The pick six, terrible. He said after the game too, he's trying to throw it out of bounds. He just got pressured too quick. He said he got to get rid of it quicker. So yeah. Bad throw. And he also had like a check down on the left, which I thought he could have probably got a ball in there, but didn't, whatever. Oh, Olin Zellweger. Cool. Great. And then the third one, also bad, but not as bad as people are making it out to be. If you watch the replay, the defensive lineman on the Rams, I believe it was Xerxes, I want to think his name is. He holds the tight end who was going, I believe it was Barner. He actually like wraps him around, grabs his, I believe, right arm, wraps him around, and he doesn't even get a chance to put out his other arm. They missed a PI or like a hold, whatever, however you want to call it. That being said, it's still not a good ball. Like, I just don't think he saw the DB behind him. Not a good ball, but not as bad as like people are making it out to be. Yeah, the red zone turnovers are an issue though, because that's 3 weeks in a row, 2 weeks in a row where we've gone two possessions without scoring in the red zone. Oh no, and then we got the red zone in overtime and got stopped on fourth and one. So like five in 2 weeks. So not good. But then it's weird because then he has like some sick throws too. Like that catch, that touchdown pass to Njigba to like tie the game to put it into overtime. That's a great ball. That's like a throw that most quarterbacks can't make. So he's gonna figure it out though. Like red zone, I mean, the red gotta clean up in the red zone.
Yeah. This isn't their year, obviously.
No, I thought they could be I still think they can be a playoff team, but I don't know. Figure it out fast. Cause...
We'll see. Anyway, basketball time.
I'm just Preston Smith also went to the Steelers, but I don't really have much comment on that. Sure. Yeah, basketball. No. Let's start with the Sixers first, because this is kind of the bigger story. So they have started out. What is their record? 1-5. The Bucks are also 1-6, which is cause for concern, but they are 1-5, the Sixers. Embiid has not played. Paul George just returned yesterday, but they lost. And I am concerned for them.
Well, there's a lot of reason to be concerned.
Yeah.
Of course, now, I don't know if Embiid was going to play the next three games, but of course, he's now suspended because he couldn't keep his cool after a reporter was saying dumb shit. But yeah, I mean, not looking good in Philly. I mean, Paul George, as good as he is still, he's not Indiana Paul George where he can carry a team to the promised land. I love Kyle Lowry. He's not good enough to be a starting point guard slash shooting guard because I guess him and Maxey share the ball carrying duties. I love Maxey. He needs more help. Can't keep playing Andre Drummond at the center. This is in 2014. Not looking good in Philly. And now Embiid, I mean, people are just losing respect for him incredibly fast. Whether it's playing for Team USA at the Olympics, him his back-to-back controversy, now this altercation with the reporter. Philly's a tough market to be in.
Don't forget all his foul hunting, too.
Oh, God, and his flopping, yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, I wonder how bad it has to get for him to request a move out, because it's just getting worse and worse year after year with him and his complaining. And Nick Nurse is a demanding coach. You play a lot of minutes under him. Not as much as like the Thibodeaux of the world, but big minutes under Nick Nurse, and Embiid can't play big minutes.
How much trade value does Embiid even have?
Tons. If he's healthy, he has tons.
But he's never healthy. That's
I know.
The thing.
That's the problem.
Like, you're getting probably 50 games a year out of him at best at this point, I would say.
Yeah, 50 to 60. I mean, you can't play back-to-backs. You have to keep him out so he's healthy for the playoffs. Pray that he's healthy for the playoffs. I don't think outside of like 2019 or maybe another year, he's ever survived the playoffs fully healthy, because he's either sick or he has his facial shit, or it's his ankle, or it's his knee, or it's his hip. He just can't stay healthy. And then he whines and bitches and moans about it the whole time. And Paul George can't carry a team anymore. We saw that last year with Los Angeles.
Does Embiid even get like three? I don't think he gets like three first round picks, to be honest. I would say maybe
hard
two.
Hard to say.
Like, it's really tough to gauge what a trade would be for him. I'm trying to even think teams who would be interested in a trade from. Like, maybe Phoenix, if they could somehow manage that
No,
money.
God. Him and Durant on the same team, can you imagine?
They do desperately need a
Lord.
center, though.
Not Nurkic?
Not Nurkic isn't the answer.
Doesn't need to be the answer. He just has to be good enough.
Nurkic
I
isn't
think.
the answer to be good enough. Like, would the Rockets do it? Because they wanted KD, I know.
Clippers? No. No, there's no real avenue. Like, he needs to work it out himself. Or, because it's, the problem is him. The problem isn't the media. It's not the coach. It's not his teammates. They have enough help for him to do well with Paul George. So they brought in Harden. That blew up in their face. Like, time to put up or shut up. If you're this guy, if you're the best big center since Shaq, do what Shaq did, lose some weight or change your play style. Stop flopping. It's pathetic. You're 7'2", 320. You shouldn't be flopping like this.
I do find it funny. Well, not funny. I do want to talk a bit about the reporter incident too. For like people who don't know, there was an article put out by a Philly reporter. Basically, I think it was like questioning why he doesn't play and stuff, and it's his out of shapeness coming into years. And he basically attributed it to his dead brother, I believe.
Yeah.
And like his dad or something who's also dead, like something like that. I you probably have better, I'm guessing on this. I know it's something to do with the dead brother and stuff, though.
I think it's the brother.
I think it had some other, was it a child too? Like,
no, I don't think there's a child. If you criticize someone's dead child, straight to hell.
I'm trying to think who else, like.
I think it was just the brother. And, like, why aren't you playing? And then he brought up the back-to-backs, and I think that set him off.
Yeah, there was something. I think there was two family members, though.
Hard to say, but I do think it was the brother. That was the catalyst.
I'm just trying to pull up this Bleacher Report article, to see.
Yeah, he was just whining about it constantly. So that's him. He's kind
it mentioned,
of a whiner.
No, it did mention his son too, but not dead son, obviously.
Okay,
but late brother.
Okay.
The article said Joel Embiid constantly points to the birth of his son Arthur as the major inflection point in his basketball career. He often
right.
says that he wants to be a great. To leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a Sixer. Well, in order to be great at your job, you have to show up for work. Embiid
Oy.
Has been great at just the opposite.
What a terrible, what horrible phrasing, my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, he deserved a retaliation. Shouldn't hit somebody, but.
Well, he didn't hit someone, he just shoved him.
Shoved him, I know, but you can't, you do that, you're asking for to be suspended. Like,
yeah.
I think it's in your contract. You can't physically touch any member of the media if you're upset.
Yeah, it's then it said that in like the suspensions, like there has to be like a professional working
yeah.
environment between medium.
And he's also probably a foot and a half taller than this guy. So it's
yeah,
not
this guy's
it's
probably
not a physical
6 foot.
I know, he's probably maybe 130 pounds. So chill out, bro. But yeah, that's one of those where you should never bring up someone's family. When I don't think it was meant to be malicious. It was just stupid phrasing. But silly. Silly. No need for that.
Mm-hmm.
No need.
Yeah, they got to figure it out fast though. Because I don't know what happens come trade deadline time, and they're still not very good, and Embiid's barely playing. And it'll be interesting to see. Let's move on. Last topic of the night: DeMar DeRozan and Drake's beef. Now, for those who don't know, Vince Carter jersey retirement night was Saturday in Toronto. Good ceremony. I watched the highlights of it. I was unable to watch the actual ceremony. I don't know if you did or not, but Drake was in attendance because he's their global ambassador. And then Drake went on the broadcast, I believe in the fourth quarter, and they were talking about the banner. It was either the third or the fourth, and they were talking about the banner and stuff. And Drake said, "Oh, it's too bad we have to do it on a night playing this goof." Oh, sorry, I'm just apparently Trump's really favored right now. It's not looking good
Yeah,
for
it's
Harris.
not looking good. We'll see. We'll see. But he was like, "Oh, this bum, if they retire his number, I'll climb up there and I'll tear it down myself," which is a crazy thing to say when you're like a technically an employee of a team and one without any power. So kind of crazy for him to say that, especially in a moment where his PR isn't very good.
Yeah. And the reason he was saying this, because him and DeRozan, I think, were boys
They
before.
were. They filmed commercials before. They were friends,
Yeah.
which
And
is going to lead
right,
into my point in a minute.
the more I say it, the less I like it.
Yeah, something like that.
You know that clip, that skit I'm talking about?
Sort of. But they were friends.
Yeah, and then DeMar appeared in Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us video music video, which is a diss track at Drake for those uncultured folks out
It's
there.
not just a diss track. It's more than a diss track. It's a character assassination. This
So
isn't your average diss track.
Drake is now pissed off at him and went and attacked him like that. Joseph, you texted me this. You're in the defense of Drake in this.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the defense of DeMar on this one, weirdly
Okay.
enough, even though I'm a Drake fan.
I'm not fully in the Drake camp.
Yeah.
There's a few important factors to realize. Remember, DeMar DeRozan is from Compton. That's where Kendrick Lamar's from. South Central LA. So they probably have known associates or whatever. So they were probably friends before Drake and DeMar were friends. So if this was your average diss track and he showed up with Kendrick Lamar, or let's just say it's Future or some shit like that, or J. Cole, it's not a big deal. The issue is Drake and DeMar were friends. That's one. Friendships can end. So their friendship's obviously over. Kendrick Lamar called Drake a pedophile in this song multiple times. And he played that song like 17 times in one night on his show. And DeMar showed up and he dapped him up 17 times. And they played the song and they were dancing to it. And then he's called a pedophile 1,000 times without any real tangible proof. It's just like, oh, Drake's a little weird about Millie Bobby Brown, which of course he is. But I think Drake is just a weirdo in general. Like, if I'm Drake and my friend endorses a song calling me a pedophile, fuck that guy. I'm never acknowledging his existence again in my life. And if I work for the team, which he does, although not in as high of a capacity as he does now that they stink, but I would tell my team that I'm global events are for, fuck this guy. We're not acknowledging him. He just assassinated my character. He drove my reputation to the ground. Like, do you remember in 2018 when Drake had his kid and he had his beef with Pusha T and Drake lost that battle too? That wasn't a big deal. The worst that happened, oh, well, I guess I got to acknowledge paternity of this kid. And now Adonis is around all the time. So who really cares? This time, he was called a pedophile by someone he probably considered a close friend. Like when Drake, or not Drake, when DeRozan was traded to San Antonio, DeMar said that he spoke to Drake on the phone for like an hour, and Drake comforted him and said, "It ain't your fault, man, that you were traded. Let's blame Masai." Like, how, if I'm like Drake, he shouldn't have been a whiny baby about it. He should have been more subtle, because now he just makes himself look even worse. But yeah, he's got every right to be pissed off. You call me a pedophile, I'm never acknowledging your existence. You're dead to me, right? Like, that's weak by DeRozan. Well, not weak by DeRozan. He can do whatever he wants. He obviously knows Kendrick Lamar. But if, and then DeRozan says, oh, he's going to have a long way up to climb. I mean, which brings me to my next point. I wouldn't even retire DeMar's number, I don't think. And now here's, I was talking to our friend Kevin about this the other day. My argument was DeMar DeRozan accomplished nothing in Toronto. Then Kevin said, and Kevin remembers these days, neither did Vince Carter, which is correct. But if Vince Carter doesn't come around to Toronto, they might lose the team. I'm not saying definitively they do like Vancouver did, because Toronto, bigger markets, more of a hardcore basketball fan base.
They made the playoffs and had a little bit of success.
Yeah, true. Without Vince Carter, this team is nothing. They are the Charlotte Hornets or the Bobcats back in the day. They are perennial losers because no free agent will ever go there. They have to draft well, and they drafted and developed Carter really well. He became a superstar. He put them on the map. He won a round, and if he doesn't go to his graduation, they beat Philadelphia, and then who knows, right? So he's an icon in Toronto. I don't think DeMar's an icon. I think the way he left DeMar, now, of course, you can say the way Vince quit on the team. We can have an argument whether or not he should have been retired. I think he should have. I think enough time has passed. But DeMar, remember, what's DeMar's last memory as a Raptor? Do you remember it, Nathan?
Getting ejected.
Yeah, getting fouled out in game four of a series where they were utterly humiliated by LeBron James. That's the last memory. He wasn't there. At least Vince kind of went down swinging. DeMar folded each and every time in the playoffs in a humiliating fashion. It's not like they lost to LeBron in seven games every time. They won it, or they lost in six in 2016, and then sweep, sweep, they rolled over and died each and every time. DeMar has no individual accolades. They won no championships, and he bitched and moaned for 3 years about being traded afterwards. Because remember, it was a long time before him and Masai did, sorted their stuff out. Like, we had to hear DeMar saying, oh, I got backstabbed, I was a sacrificial lamb. I mean, they won the second you left, DeMar. So clearly you were part of the problem. So this is a long way of saying that I think Drake is right to be angry at DeMar. I think he articulated himself poorly. And I think that there's probably a 30% chance DeMar gets his number retired, which I think has decreased in the past couple of years. We all know it's going to be Lowry. I think Siakam's 40-60. And then after that, I don't think there's really any other contenders in the near future. I don't think Kawhi is getting retired.
I think DeRozan deserves it to be more than Siakam, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
I can see why you're saying Siakam might have the better chance because he was on the championship team, but it just, DeMar's legacy is better in Toronto, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Pascal won an individual award. DeMar never won any awards. I mean, he made all NBA teams and stuff.
I think he was all NBA second team 1 year.
I know, but that's not, he didn't win an MVP. He didn't win it most improved. He was never going to win a defensive player of the year. And he folded in the playoffs each and every time. So that's my take on it.
In terms of, what was I going to say? The beef. You kind of swayed me a little bit in this, I will say. I'm still critical of Drake in this. I think he went too far, in my opinion. The comment of him saying, like, oh yeah, what a great night. Too bad we have to do it playing this goof or whatever.
I thought that was kind of funny. If he said it,
just
it
saying, like,
it's fine.
If he's like, oh, too bad we just had to do it playing these guys tonight. Like, that I can live with. And then I think he took like another one or two jabs at him while on the broadcast. Yeah. I don't know if it was just like Drake was drunk and talking.
I don't think he was drunk. I don't think he was drunk. Matt and Jack were clearly uncomfortable, which was kind of funny because it's hard to rattle Jack. I mean, Matt's a little different, but Jack was like, no, 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 that's not what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. But
the attack about if they put a 10 DeRozan banner up there, I'll go climb up there and take it down. Blah, blah,
that's like, another thing where if he said it differently, it's not as big of a deal.
Just say, like, you wouldn't be there if they're going to do it. Like, God.
Or just say you don't endorse it.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I just didn't like how far he went with it. Like, I get why, you appeared to distract. The problem is, too, though, it's like Drake, who was boys with DeMar.
Yeah.
For years. But he was also boys with Kendrick because they're from the same neighborhood. and they probably knew each other closer than Drake and DeMar, let's be real. Of course, if the two are beefing now, you have to choose the guy you're probably closer to, which is, in this case, is Kendrick. And yeah, he's from your hometown, blah, blah, blah. Like, I see why he went there. 207 to 191 right now.
Which one are you looking at?
CNN.
Don't look at CNN. They're really slow. You go AP.
Okay. But
they have 112. Nathan, it's they're in big trouble.
I know. They're losing Pennsylvania right now.
It's too early to think about Pennsylvania, but they're in big trouble. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say right now. We'll talk off camera.
Okay. Just Drake. Too far, in my opinion. I get why you're mad. There's better ways to handle it rather than go publicly about it in a night that's not even about you guys. It's about Vince Carter, and you went too far, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And,
of course, there's a conversation to have if Vince Carter deserves it, but because he quit. DeMar never – well, you can say DeMar quit when he fouled out, but Vince
– was it not an ejection or a double tech?
I thought, oh, it might have been a double tech. The point was he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't out there dying with his teammates and Valanciunas getting cooked every possession. But yeah, Drake's got a right to be angry. DeMar can do whatever he wants. He can be friends with whoever he wants. He doesn't need to be loyal to the Raptors and their community anymore. But oh well, I mean, we all know Lowry's next. I also loved, as an aside, the Leafs do this too with their jersey retirements. I love that they had a picture of Vince dunking. I thought that's so cool. Instead of just your average number going up with the name, I thought it was really cool that they had his signature moment up there.
Okay. I guess I forgot the Leafs do that too, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they just do pictures. Like here they did Vince Carter in the dunk contest. Like what are they going to do for Lowry? Him with the championship?
Yeah.
Like I heard people going, oh, let's do it with him taking a charge. Like, I mean, okay, come on.
Holy shit. The Canucks scored on the power play. We're back.
What a coincidence. But yeah, Lowry, if it's Lowry taking a charge, I'm going to be annoyed. That's just so stupid. Like, come on.
What is his signature
moment?
Remember
there's that one on the victory bus where he's got his sunglasses on and he's holding the Larry O'Brien and he's got a big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
I consider that one. There's also the one where he's like this, they've just won or something. I think.
Would it be that half court shot against the,
they lost that game.
Yeah, I know, but
you can't do that one.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, was it? What is Larry? Do we think it's gonna be something from Game Six, like his sixth
maybe
start? That's potential.
Might just be him shooting.
Yeah,
we'll see.
But yeah, I think that wraps up everything we need to say on that topic and in this episode.
Yep.
We need to go talk politics off camera because we don't want to bore you guys with that. Whoever listens to get this far. Next week, we will come back with Sweden and their roster prediction. I believe that's where we want to go next.
Yep.
Follow it up with week 10 breakdown, I guess.
Yep. Maybe a free agent or two will be signed by then.
For MLB. We'll start with some predictions on that and where we think some top guys are going to land. And in the NBA, NBA Cup starts next week. I know you love that, Joseph.
No, I hate that. I hate that.
I was joking. But we'll probably figure out something to talk about there. But you got this far. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you in the next episode. Peace out.
Bye.